I have thoroughly, as Pastor made mention, it's been a good place to be this week. Sunday morning, Sunday night, what the Lord did last night, and tonight is no exception. How many would agree we've had great singing tonight? Amen. It's great singing every night. Let's give the Lord a hand. He's worthy. Amen. And it is a real treat for me. I got to bring my little boy. I picked on these three fellas. If you notice, they're back. I don't know if they ate before church. They hadn't ate. I'm gonna bless you guys. I'm going to feed y'all tonight and be a blessing to y'all. And you say, why are you going to do that? Well, hey, anybody come hear me two nights in a row to be fed. I mean, they drove from Northwest Arkansas. Some of y'all local folks said, well, what about us? amen. I remember. But here's what I want to do. I mean this. They come last night and they come back tonight. And I know you have come and some of you have been here every service except last night because of the storms. But man, I'm honored you come. What a great looking crowd on a Tuesday night. Amen. And if you have your Bible, I want to go to the book of Luke, Luke chapter 15, Luke chapter 15. I'm going to begin reading in verse number 20, Luke chapter 15, verse 20. I started to tell you a little bit about my little boy. My son came last night. And one of the main reasons is, and here's the part I forgot to tell you, I picked on them eating last night. Me and him stopped at Gino's Pizza. I tried to do good. I had one piece. I wanted two pieces, but I had one piece. Now, it is bigger than your head. Somebody say amen right there. Brother Nick, my little boy, Aiden, 10-year-old Aiden, said, Daddy, I need two pieces of cheese pizza and a Dr. Pepper. Son, you can't get any better than that. And anyhow, he told me tonight, he said, Dad, tell everybody hi. He said, but have you noticed how pretty it is outside? I lost him, Brother Carl, tonight, riding his bike. And that's where my little man is tonight. Luke chapter 15, verse 20. And when you get to verse 20, shout a big amen. Amen. If you said amen, or even if you didn't, I want you to stand. I know there are visitors. I know there are home folk. We're just honored. I start calling where you're from, and I'll miss one church, and it's not my intention at all. Everybody, we're blessed you're here. Luke 15, verse 20. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. Bring hither the fatted calf and kill it. Let us eat and be merry. I like verse 24. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And Brother Tom, and they began to be merry. I want everybody in the room to look up here. If you're a student of the Bible, you know that these verses deal with the prodigal son. You understand that. Some of you understand, and I preached it. Brother Carl's preached it, Brother Tom, other preachers. But I'll say this. When I was looking at it the other day, I couldn't help but think, God, what do you want me to say? I've addressed it. I've preached it. I've done about everything you can do with the prodigal. And God said, Derek, I want you to preach on the heart of the Father. Now, I want you to write that down, the heart of the Father. Now, before you think you know what I'm going to say, can I just go ahead and say to somebody, God the Father has a heart for you. He loves you. He's concerned about you. He wants you to put your faith and your trust in Him, and your life be forever changed by putting your faith in Him. Someone already said, I'm about to pray. Someone said, well, Brother Derek, I've read the text. I don't read one mention, one time where it uses the word heart. It doesn't say anything about the heart. Well, I would say amen to you. But also know that the Bible said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And Brother Carl, I can tell you the truth. By His character and the conduct of the Father, by the character and the conduct of the Father, we see what lives inside the Father's heart. And He's got a heart for humanity. And I want to preach for the next hour and a half. I've just seen if you was paying attention. I want to preach on the heart of the Father. Father, I thank you tonight for the reading of the Word of God. I thank you for Sunday night, and Monday night. But it is Tuesday night now. We need an unction from the Holy One of Israel. We need help. We need the presence and the power of the Holy Ghost. If there's anybody lost tonight, I pray that this would be the night that they'd get born again. If there's any sick, God, we still believe at Cornerstone that you and you alone are the healer. God, take some broken heart, some broken, wounded man, broken and wounded woman, and let them look to you and see the kind of heart that you have for them. Speak to us from the Word of God. I pray you would save. I pray you would heal. I pray you would deliver. I pray that when the altar call is given, that the altar would look so near and the back door would seem so far away, and they would rest in the authority and in the truth of God, and we'll give you the praise and we'll give you the glory in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. You may be seated. I've got wonderful news. Matter of fact, if you don't mind, Brother Johnson Ross, I'm just going to jump into the passage. I want to give you three types, three emphases about the Father's heart. You say, Derek, will it take you very long to show us three things about the Father's heart? Well, if you preach me really good, in other words, if you amen every once in a while, if you act interested every once in a while, this sermon will work a whole lot better. But I got, Brother Phil, three emphases on the heart of the Father. Number one, I want you to write it down, something about the look that was in the Father's heart. You say, man of God, I don't know where you're going with that. Well, go down to verse 20. If you don't mind, sis, put Luke 15 and verse 20 on the screen. The Bible said, and he arose and came to his father. But when, keep that there, when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him. Now, you say, man of God, it's interesting to me that he saw him when he was a great way off. Brother Charles, the Father saw him. Now, here's what I want you to understand. I'm glad I can tell you by the authority of the Word of God that God's not blinded about where you are. He's not blinded by the circumstance. Maybe you walked out in rebellion. Maybe you broke your daddy's heart and your mama's heart, and you wandered out there in a life of sin. Can I just go ahead and tell you, he's not blinded by your circumstance. He knows where you are. And the Father, I see the look that was in the Father's heart. Now, here's what jumped off the page to me. Brother Tom, here's what captivated me. The Father was looking for the Son. He was looking for the Son. And you say, well, Derek, you just said that. It indicates to me, Brother Carl, that this wasn't a coincidence. This wasn't an accident. It was on purpose. I don't know how y'all can stay so calm, but you're doing real good. Do you say, explain that to me. Would you agree with me? The Father didn't just go to the porch one day and look down the road and say, well, I can't believe it, but there's my wayward wandering boy coming home. It blows my mind. It shocks me. It surprises me. If you believe that's what happened, you didn't read the text. I believe every day, Brother John, that Father went to that porch and looked down the dirt road and said, this could be the day that my wayward wandering boy comes back home. Is anybody glad on a Tuesday night in Cornerstone Free Will Baptist Church that the Father was looking for you to come home? Now, I said, God, I like that. He said, Derek, remind my people it was on purpose. It was intently. It was regularly, constantly, on purpose. He was looking down the road. Now, Brother Tom, I can't help it. If I'm going to address the Father, Brother Carl, if I'm going to address the Father and I'm going to say that it was on purpose and that it wasn't an accident, it wasn't a coincidence, then can I remind you that God's dealings with man has never been by accident. God's dealing with humanity and God's dealing with mankind, it didn't just occur. Matter of fact, Calvary, Brother John, Calvary was not an accident. Calvary was premeditated in the mind of an eternal God before. Oh my God, you're not hearing me. Well, how did you get that? The Bible said this: before the foundation of the world, Christ was slain on a hill outside the city walls of Jerusalem. It's going to get better than that. You say, what do you mean? Calvary was thought ahead in time. Calvary was thought before you ever made a mistake. I said, God, I like that. God said, put the jelly on the bottom shelf, son. Tell them this. Before they ever had a problem, I, God of heaven, had a solution. Does anybody understand? Before you had a problem, God had a solution. Amen. Woo! I don't know how, but I'm about to lose my mind right there, son, and shout on one foot half the time. I'm telling you, he had a look that was in the Father's heart. The look that was in the Father's heart. Now, I told y'all, and you've done so good. I'll just say this. The son, Brother Carl, Brother Phil, you love this. The son had lost sight of the Father. But the Father had never took his eyes off the Son. Hold up. I'll designate to get somebody to shout for me. He had a watchful eye on the Son. I can tell you, by the authority investing in the Word of God, the Son no doubt had forgot about the Father. But the Father had never forgotten about the Son. Do you agree with me? The Son had forsaken the Father in rebellion, but the Father had never forsaken the Son. Hey, is anybody glad on a Tuesday night of revival, the Father was looking down the road for the boy to come back home? Brother Mike, here's where it got good. The servants weren't looking for that boy to come home. That elder brother wasn't looking for that boy to come back home. But there was a father. Whoa, whoa. Whoa, there was a father that was looking down the road. Ladies and gentlemen, you come to me tonight and you say, you don't know where I've been. You don't know what I've done. You don't know that I broke my daddy's heart, my mama's heart, and my own heart. But can I tell you, Scott, there was a father that was looking down the road knowing that there would be a day you would come back home. He was looking down the road. Brother John, I see the look that was in the father's heart. Now, I'm not done. I'm just as shocked as everybody in the room. I'm on point number two. I'll just go ahead and tell you, that was record pace. You might as well say amen. Not only do I see the look that was in the father's heart. Number two, I see the love that was in the father's heart. I see the love that was in the father's heart. You say, man of God, how do you know that? Keep verse 20 on the screen, sis. You're doing a wonderful job. I'm going to brag about you. Hey, and when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him. And look at that next line. And had compassion. Oh, it's going to get better than that. And ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. Brother Bill, it's gonna get good to me. You say, well, why is that gonna get good to you? I'm gonna just tell you, I see the look, but I see the love that was in the father's heart. And here's what I said to God. I said, God, I'd really like to preach this. He said, well, son, if you're gonna preach it, he said, I want you to preach it like this. He said, ask the audience, how would they have handled the wayward boy coming home? I lost my manners. I'll just go ahead and tell you, some of us would have shut the door on that boy. And said, you squandered your heritage. You squandered your living. You took it and divided it with harlots. And you went out there and done everything under the heavens that was wrong. And you broke my heart and way with you. And he could have slammed the door. But would you agree with me? That's not what the father did. That's not what the father did. I just got to say this. I said this Sunday morning. It's worth mentioning tonight. Some of the meanest people on the planet go to church. Well, I just, everybody grin real big and you look spiritual. Hey, I just tell you, and I didn't come to upset you, but I will say this. The father, when I looked at the text, the Bible said the father ran and put his arms around him and kissed him. He didn't shut the door. He didn't say this. He didn't say you squandered it. He didn't say you blew it. That ain't what he said. I want you to write this down. I not only see, I'm still on the love, but here's what I want you to write down. How did the boy know that the father loved him? By his actions. Everybody just make a mental note. He looked at his actions. You say, well, what was his actions? Instead of running away from him, he ran to him. Brother, you love this. Instead of pushing him away, Brother Nick, he wraps his arms around him. It's going to get better than that. And then he jumps on him. Now, I got to get all, y'all got to see this because you're not going to get it. John, he's been in the pig pen. He's got mud on him. He's got manure on him. Oh, everybody look up here. Y'all act so holy and act like y'all don't know what mud is and manure is. Look back up here. He's got gnats on his head and flies swarming his eyes. And the father ran out there, jumped on him, and took his lips. Oh my God, I'm about to get blessed by my own preaching. He took his lips and he put them on that wayward, wandering boy. Here's what I wrote down, Brother Carl. The father never said one word to the son. But the son knew by the actions of the father that he was loved by the father. He knew that he was loved because the father could have ran away, but the father ran to him. Y'all hear me? And the father could have pushed him away, but the father embraced him. The father could have said something mean, but the father took them lips and put them on his head and kissed him with the kisses of his mouth. Is anybody glad when you were wayward and wondering and had broke your own heart? Is anybody glad the love of the father? He embraced you. He ran to you. And he kissed you with the kisses of his mouth. Ooh. I'm trying to stay calm. Hold up. You say, Brother Derek, are you just... No. I'm a words guy. I love words. But buddy, I'm going to tell you, even I could see the Father loved that boy. If you agree with that, shout amen. Amen. Brother Johnson Ross, here's where I'm going. I won't show you another one, but I'm gonna throw this out. Have y'all heard this since you've been saved? Have you heard this in the church? I just love the church. That's funny right there. I don't care who you are. That's funny. I've heard them say it, Brother Carl. I'm an evangelist. I can get by with this. I mean, when you're a pastor, you know, y'all have to live on eggshells. I feel sorry for y'all. But when you're an evangelist, you hit them and run. Son, you hit them and run. That's the funnest thing on the planet right there. I mean, you just come in there and you just preach the word and you just let her rip. But here's what he said. Hey, I'm telling you, I hear people in the church. I just love the church. You call revival and they don't come to one service. I ain't done. I heard that song. I've heard some in the church say, I just love the church. 6 months later, they don't even go to church. But everybody look up here. If you really love God, if you really love God, you will want to come into the house of the Lord. It won't just be lip service. It'll be from out of your heart. You want to praise Jesus. Out of your heart, you want to be faithful. Would anybody agree? Your behavior and your conduct ought to tell the world you're in love with Jesus Christ. I see the actions that was in the Father's heart. I've never seen this. I want you to do this for me, sis. I want you to pull up verse. Yeah, I'll tell you in a minute. Yeah, go to verse 18. Pull up verse 18. I'm going to read 18. And then we'll go 18, 19, and 20. And maybe, and probably, yeah. Start at 18. Before I tell you that, I'm going to give you my, I'm still on point two, sub point B. Y'all don't know how to take me. I see the actions that was in the Father's heart. Brother Tom, if I live to be 100, this is probably one of the best points I've ever seen in my life. I not only noticed the actions, I noticed the Father's interruption. Just keep that in mind, the Father's interruption. And look at verse 18. Here's what the boy is saying. The boy is rehearsing his speech, Brother John, in verse 18. He said, I will arise and go to my father and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. Go on to verse 19. And am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. He tells him, and he rehearses his speech. He is saying in verse 18 and 19, he said, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of the hired servants. Now, finally, the boy gets to talk in verse 21. Pull up verse 21. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Verse 22. The boy don't even get his speech finished. And the father says, but the father said, the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him. I know we want to shout, but here's the shouting point. The boy is saying, I am no more worthy to be called thy son. And in his rehearsed speech, he said, I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. I've sinned against heaven, and I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me a hired servant. When he finally gets to talk, he don't even get to say, make me a hired servant. Because the father interrupts his speech. Oh my God, if I wasn't so dignified, I'd lap the church and say hallelujah, praise God, hallelujah, praise God, praise God. Hey, do you understand, Phil? He was interrupted. The father interrupted his speech. Here's where it got good to me. I said, God, I'd like to make that plain. He said, Derek, tell my people, it was a divine interruption. He said, and I spoke up, and the father interrupts him, and the father butts in. I can't help it. I'm going to chase a rabbit. Is anybody glad when you were phony baloney and you came to the father and God just interrupted you and said, let's cut with the chase. You need me. It's not your fancy prayer. It's not what you can do. It's in what I can do. And I'd never thought about this. Here's what the boy was doing, Brother Carl. Pastor Carl, here's what he was doing. Hey, Dad, I've squandered it. And I want to make what's wrong, and I want to make it right. I want atonement. Atonement means at one mint. I want to be atoned. And I've wasted your money, and I've wasted your inheritance, and I want to make it right. And the father spoke up and said, son, there's nothing you can do to atone for what you've done. Your forgiveness is not in what you can do. Your redemption is not in what you can do. The reason you can be atoned, and the reason you can be forgiven, and the reason you can find redemption is not on your merit, but is in me, because I love you. Is anybody glad on a Tuesday night of church? God is the Redeemer. God is the atonement. God is the one that forgives sin. I see the look that was in the father's heart. I see the love by his actions and by his interruption. I preached 15 minutes or so. I'm just as shocked as everybody. I kind of finally come to my final point. You say, Brother Derek, does that mean you're in a hurry? No. That clocker says it's 10 till 7. If I don't free a man up, I'm taking that clock with me when I leave this church. That is an encouraging clock. You can't say that about every clock you've ever looked at. Brother John, that one encourages me. Hold up. I see the look that was in the father's heart. I see the love that was in the father's heart. I'm going to call mama when I get in the car and tell her I used a big word. Don't laugh, it'll get worse. If y'all laugh, I'll pull some more stuff out. The lavishness that was in the father's heart. Brother Mike, the lavishness. Brother Nick, the lavishness that was in the father's heart. The father said to the servant, bring the best robe and the ring and the shoes and the fatted calf. Let us eat and be merry. We are going to have a party. We are going to celebrate. This my son was dead. This my son was lost and now is found. This my son was dead and now is alive. And we're going to have a celebration. And Brother Charles, when I think about the lavishness that's in the father's heart, I think about him bestowing his graces and his mercies on humanity. And I don't mean this bad. God's blessed me. I'm living some of the blessed days I've ever had in my ministry right now. Right now. But can I tell you, sometimes people are stingy. And we're tight-fisted. Somebody amen that. Amen. But Brother Bill, when it comes to the grace and the mercy of God, God's hand is open-handed. He'll pour into you and he'll open up his hand on you when it come to salvation. Brother Tom, I'm glad when it came to salvation, it wasn't dependent on the finance committee. I'm glad God said, I'll send my darling son. Let him go to the planet and willingly die and willingly pay the price so that humanity can be saved. Is anybody glad? He lavishes over you. He loves you. He was looking your way and he pours himself into us. I thought about, I've flown to the Philippines. I thought about this the other day. If you've flown to the Philippines, let me see your hand. Yeah. You're looking at the Joker. That's flown to the Philippines. I love Philippine people. I preach, I've been there 3 times. 03, 05, and 08. The last time I went, I didn't even have my own bag. I borrowed a bag. Everybody look at me. I don't recommend that. Here's why. We had 500 people on this little conveyor belt that wasn't no bigger than this stage. 500 people trying to find their bag. And you guessed it. I don't even know where my bag is. I don't even know what my bag looks like. I don't know how that just check that off. I didn't even mean to bring it up. But here's what happens on them plane rides. Y'all, everybody tells me, Brother Tom, they said, oh, everybody just loves them. Them are big airplanes. Everybody look up here. Yeah, they're big. They're real big. But you sit in a place, you sit in a seat just like this, and there's usually a man right here and a man right here or a woman or, you know, whatever. And I don't know if y'all can tell I'm fidgety. I'm trying to stay calm and you can't do this. Because you'll be in their space. You'll be in their space. 20 hours. What do you do, Derek? Do you sleep? No, I build sermons. That's a joke. You can't build sermons up there. 45,000 feet in the air. You look down, all you see is water. You pray a lot. And you beg, hey, Brad, you beg God. Here it is. The reason I fly a coach is because it's $8,000 to fly first class. Someone said, well, you deserve the best. Well, if that's true, give more in the offering and I'll fly first class. That's just a joke. I really don't want $8,000 to fly first class. If anybody wants to donate that the next time I go, I won't tell anybody. How do we get on that road? Just hope. Take that off the tape. I don't want anybody hearing me say that. But I'll say this. I don't know why I said that, but I'll say this. Here's why I said it. I thought about it in the economy of God. There's no second class and third class tickets. All of God's children are first class. Hallelujah. He lavishes me with all spiritual blessings. He lavishes me with his grace and with his mercy. Is anybody glad he had a look in his heart? He had a love in his heart, and he lavishes over humanity. Brother John, I'll say two things and I'll close. The Father is open-handed. He's generous. He's liberal in his giving. He's abounding in abundance. He's extravagant. My sins were dark. My life was a mess. I needed abundant grace. I want to say something about the robe, and then I'll say something about the house, and we'll close the message. The robe, here's the robe. In Bible days, Brother Nick, the Bible said best robe. All that means is chief robe. That in biblical days, if a man of means or a man of wealth, a man of position, a man, whether it was military or nobility, if he stepped into your house, here's what you did. You put the best robe on him. Here's why, Brother Carl. You were signifying to the world he was somebody. When the boy come home, John, and his garments was torn and tattered, and he had flies and he had gnats. And if you'd have looked at his belly, you could tell he was hungry. And the father, when they said chief robe, they didn't drape a cloak or a coat. They draped the robe on him to signify to everybody he was somebody. Do you know what the father did when the father saw the torn garments and the tattered life? The father said, hey, servant, go get the best robe, because I love taking nobodies and making somebodies out of them. And you might not think he's anybody, and you might not think he's deserving, but he's a somebody. And I'm going to put a robe on him to tell the world he's my boy. He's my boy. It's going to get better than that. In Bible days, especially in Israel, if someone entered into your house, Brother Tom, they became your responsibility. You had to protect them. Brother Johnson Ross, you remember Lot and the two angels came down, and you remember, I won't preach it, to save Lot and his family. There were two angels. I preached this before, and here's all I'll tell you, and I'll cut to the chase. They came to Sodom and Gomorrah, and Lot made them boys, made them angels go inside his house. And Brother John, you remember the men of that city was moved, and they wanted to be with them, not to take them to Dairy Queen. They wanted to know them in an abominable way. And Lot put them in his house. And they were his responsibility to keep them safe. When the boy came home and the father put the robe on him, immediately when the boy said he would have fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, because no man gave unto him. Brother Johnson Ross, when he walked into his father's house, he never had to worry about where his next meal would come from, because the father was responsible for the wayward wandering son. Is anybody glad when you come to the altar tonight, he'll put a robe on you and he'll sustain you and he'll take care of you? You are his responsibility. Is anybody glad that's the love and the look and the lavishness of the Father? Stand all over the room.